Chris, joined like usual. The full crew is here, Tommy and Jeremy. Before we get into the improvements to Dynasty Mode, which the two big additions and changes are power recruiting and coach skills, some other news relating to NCAA Football 14. First, the strategy guide is listed on Amazon. What's worth noting is that if you're a big NCAA Football Ultimate Team fan, if you order the strategy guide, it will come with a code to redeem for what they're calling a valued NCAA Football Ultimate Team card pack with the cover athlete card, which would be of Denard Robinson. That'll be a relatively rare pack, so I can see a lot of Ultimate Team guys making the splurge for that. Also, if you were thinking about getting the game through Origin.com, that comes with the formerly Big East, now American Athletic Conference Ultimate Team pack. But also, if you purchase a box of, especially marked box of Post Golden Crisp, you can get $10 off any EA Sports game from Origin, so that could knock down the cost of NCAA 14. We're constantly on the look for the best deal this year. Hasn't been that $45 Amazon deal like we were lucky enough to have last year. It seems like every site is still right at $59.99, give or take a few cents. But if there's any changes, we'll keep you posted. And the best way to keep up on all NCAA Football 14 news is to go to thegamingtailgate.com and click on NCAA 14 Info Central at the top. Everything is in there, every article, all the news, everything we find, everything that's out there, we have it in one spot. Also, the achievement list now available for NCAA Football 14, 41 total achievements worth 1,000 points. We assume for the PS3 trophies, it'll be the exact same, minus the new trophy for calling an audible with Kinect. However, the majority of trophies and achievements, the same as last year, and so many of those from the year before, and if not the year before that. A handful of new ones relating to new features in the game, such as Ultimate Team, coach skills, power recruiting, etc. Quickly, JB, you're known for bending over backwards for any sort of achievement or trophy. What do you think about this achievement list with so many being the same as years past?
It's a little disappointing that we have a lot of the same achievements as years past. It'd be nice to kind of try to go for something different and something new. But on the bright side, at least, there isn't a trophy for completing each Heisman Challenge this year. So I haven't really been able to come close the last couple of years in NCAA football to getting all the trophies. So these might be a little easier than last year and a little less time-consuming. But I still would like to have seen it mixed up a little bit to maybe push me to do some different things rather than kind of doing the same old things to get a lot of those gameplay trophies.
And before we get into the Dynasty news, I want to say thanks to Dirty Bert, who joined us on the show last time talking about NCAA Football Ultimate Team. During the course of that show, we had mentioned that we had plans and hopes to have an official interview with developers. For whatever reason, communication has dropped. That does not look like it will happen. So we want to thank Bert for coming on and being our official Ultimate Team expert and being on the podcast last show. Go check it out on our YouTube channel or look through the forums to find a link to the previous show. Now let's get into Dynasty Mode. It's the heart and soul of NCAA Football 14, the most popular game mode. It'll be interesting to see if Ultimate Team can pass it or where it compares this year, but for now is top feature in the game. Two big additions to the mode, power recruiting and coach skills. We're going to start off talking about power recruiting. Jeremy, let's talk about first the system that existed in the past. The big knock on it was how basically time-consuming that it was, that it, a lot of people said if you wanted to put a lot of time and effort into it, it just was a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, at least in my experience, especially in the first few weeks where you want to go after those big dogs, so you start out your preseason by scouting and seeing what kind of five stars may be able to fall in line with your recruiting board. And, you're not going to be able to get all those top-tier guys. So what you need to do is kind of do a lot of dropping and adding, especially in the beginning part of the season. So if you once you couple that with doing 10 phone calls, if you're using the max time for each phone call, you could be doing more phone calls if you're not doing it that way. You easily could be spending 30 or 45 minutes in recruiting, which tack on 45 minutes or so for playing the game, and you're putting a lot of time just into 1 week of the game. With the new streamlined recruiting, I think it's going to be a lot more enjoyable and a lot less tedious. You'll still, of course, you'll be hunting and pecking for those big stars, and you'll still have a good deal of strategy. They just kind of took a lot of the tedious work out of it.
Tommy, I'll let you, you're good with the technical aspects. If you had to describe this briefly to somebody who might wander into a straight forum and say, what in the blue hell is power recruiting? How would you describe it?
Basically, it allows you to get in there, get your recruiting done faster, and get out if you want to. you know, again, it's going to let you spend as much time as you want. Like JB said last year, pretty much everybody who did recruiting had to spend at least 30 minutes a week if they wanted to be at least competitive. With now this, with the points carrying over and everything like that, you can basically, you know, the old infomercials, you can set it and forget it. If you come back the next week, you can just leave the points the same way they were. If you want to make some tweaks, you can. But then as well, for the person who is really big into recruiting and does want to spend all that time, they still can do that. They can still go in and, you know, tweak this and that and the other, compare how they did from week to week, so on and so forth, and then also, you know, go out and try to scour to find that one recruit that somebody's not really recruiting very hard or something like that. So, I mean, it that kind of is the best of both worlds. It allows those that, you know, don't enjoy the recruiting as much, it allows them to still be competitive, but it also allows the guy that loves recruiting to still go in there and put a lot of focus on that and maybe even find a small edge that the other guy doesn't.
The way the system is designed for the regular season, you have 5,000 points each week that you can distribute and give to your targeted recruits. And you begin with a cap of 500 points that you can assign to them. Those numbers, the 5,000 and 500, can be changed with coach skills, which we'll address later on. Right now, we're just going to deal with the base standard numbers to make it easier for those listening. I would also recommend, if you get a chance while you're listening to this, go to Info Central, look at the images on the right side, and look at some of the recruiting menus interface as we talk. I think it'll make a lot more sense to hear us talk about it as you're looking at the screens. The first thing, if you're looking at any sort of screens or images or even video from the game once that emerges at E3, there are several tabs on the right side: top schools, prospect overview, bonus points, and the scouting. Tommy, what are your thoughts on this redesign? What do you think it adds, or what does it do for the recruiting aspect of the game?
Well, it's absolutely 110% better. I know in the years past, I'm a PlayStation guy, so I can't speak to how exactly it works on the 360, but you know, you'd pull up a recruit, and then you'd compare how you did to the other schools, and then you'd press the right stick down, and you'd go to the next one. Well, the problem is, about half the time, it wouldn't recognize that right stick, so you'd have to end up jamming it down again to try to get it to finally switch over. Now, with the reorganization, you have those five different tabs of information, and based on those tabs, you can just simply use the left stick to go up and down the recruits and look at that tab. If you want to go to the next tab, you can, using the shoulder buttons, or just simply continue going on to the next recruit, so on and so forth. That way, if you want to look at all of your recruits and see, you know, which ones you're lagging behind against other schools in or whatever, you can quickly go through your whole list and do that. And then if you want to come back through and go through and see which ones haven't scouted all the way, you can quickly go through and do that, so on and so forth. So it definitely is a lot cleaner, and it still has all the information, if not more information, right there at your fingertips, but it's easier to get in and out of instead of having to, you know, again, mash that right stick down to try to get there.
Looking at the screens, one thing that stands out, and I think it'll be perhaps a little confusing at first, for people who are assigning points, they'll see that they can manually set it between 0 and 500. But below it, when you have a player highlighted, it's talking about plus 315 bonus or a plus 200 bonus. Jeremy, can you talk about what that bonus means for people who may not be aware of what that is?
There's a few different things that are going to be that'll compose of the bonus that you'll get. The first thing that you see when you look at the bonus points tab is the top three of the recruits' favorite pitches. And so you'll see their top three most important pitches along with your school's rating and then the point value of the bonus there. In addition, you'll get a bonus if you're a pipeline state as well. And so those bonuses, even if you put 0 points on the recruit for that week, you're still going to get that bonus added on to your recruiting point total.
So basically you're saying if you add a player and you're solely having there to scout, the nice thing is you're still going to get those bonus points. So if you wanted to compare it to real life, it would almost be if you're sending a kid some letters or information about your school, you're kind of, you know, getting on his board or in his mind a little bit. Would you say that's pretty comparable methodology?
Yeah, that's correct, because, you know, they know that you're going after them, and they kind of know how you rate with their most important attributes. And so you're still going to kind of gain a little bit of the recruit's respect, even if you're not pushing for them at that moment.
A couple of new aspects within recruiting. While some people were concerned about this new point methodology making it too simple, too streamlined, EA has added some variables in here that you really have to be aware of when going after players. that'll make it sort of a mini game within recruiting, or just another factor you have to be aware of. One of those being the, I'm calling it the lock system, not sure that's exactly what they call it, but that's what I'm going to call it, that as you go through the year, you'll see that the recruit, there's a meter for each player when they're getting closer and closer to eliminating schools, and you'll see where you're at. Jeremy, do you want to talk about the lock system and how this works?
Once the recruit is at 100% with their lock, progress, I guess is what you could call it, they basically will lock out all the recruits that are lagging behind. And so if you're just kind of laying in the weeds trying to maybe make a late push and you end up falling too far out of it, well, you're gonna get locked out of the recruiting battle, because it's only gonna allow schools that are within a certain amount to stay within that battle. And so you do have a coach skill that you can break a lock, but we'll go into that a little later. And then one more thing also with that lock system. If you're looking at the Power Recruiting Deep Dive, you'll see on one of the screens that you actually have to stay within a certain amount in order to stay in that battle as well. If you kind of just lay back and don't make a push and the other two schools get way ahead of you, there's a chance that you could still get locked out later on down the road.
Along with the lock system, we also have deal breakers. Tommy, I'll let you talk about what are deal breakers. What is this new thing we have to look for with recruits?
Deal breakers are basically for the recruit. It's the most important item that he has. And if you fall below a certain level on that pitch, then he's not even going to let you talk to him. He's not going to let you recruit him. You're not going to I don't know if you're going to get any bonus points for having it on your board or not, but at the same time, he's basically says, you know, I don't care what you have to say. I'm not going to listen to you. Basically, let's say you're a school that has a really low academic rating or whatever, and the recruit considers that as the most important rating. If you fall below C+ or worse, then your school won't even be in the running for that recruit. He just won't even, my understanding, he won't even talk to you at all. Basically, it's kind of to kind of keep some of those smaller schools in check, but then as well, it's to keep those schools in check for, like, let's say you're in a Notre Dame, the example that they actually use on the blog itself. You're Notre Dame. You're a big school. Typically, you should be able to sign most of the recruits that you really, really want. If there's a player that is outside of your kind of proximity, and he considers proximity to home one of the most important items, or the most important item, then he just won't even talk to you. Regardless that you're Notre Dame, regardless of how good of a school you are, he won't even talk to you because he wants to stay close to home. So it definitely makes it more of a game to where you do have to pay attention to what these kids want. And then if it's proximity to home, you can't change that. If it's something else like playing time or championship level or something like that, things that you can kind of influence, then you do have the ability to actually change that to where you can, you know, increase your level to where at least you can get above that C+. So if, for example, if you're recruiting 5 wide receivers and one of those wide receivers considers playing time the most important, if you start cutting some of the guys above him from your recruiting board, then he'll start seeing that you're more serious about taking him in, and so he'll kind of start to actually talk to you.
Tommy, talk about the visit system. What is going on with these complimentary and competitive visits?
Basically, the way it works is that, let's say, you know, you've got a certain number of visits that you're going to use every week. Let's say you've got, you know, you're a mediocre school and you've got 6 home games, so you get 6 opportunities to bring players in. If you budget those weeks correct, you can have players come in at the same time to where they are what's called complimentary. So like a quarterback and wide receiver, they're going to get on campus at the same visit. They're going to start talking to each other and say, hey, isn't it going to be great that we're going to be, you know, playing together for the next 4 years or whatever. But then at the same time, on the opposite side of that, with those complimentary visits, you get a bonus. So you'll get a certain number of points that add based on, you know, the players that you had come in. And then on the opposite side of that, if you had 2 quarterbacks come in the same week, then they'll start, you know, sneering at each other, talking bad behind each other's back, so on and so forth. And so you'll lose points with both of those players. So you definitely want to schedule your visits to where you don't have multiple players at the same position visiting in the same week. There are certain limits in certain positions, but basically you want to try to organize your visits to where instead of just inviting them, you know, in years past you would invite 10, 15 players into the same week with no penalty at all. So now you have to actually you know, adjust your plan and use your time wisely. So, and then on the opposite side of that, you also, these were kind of in there before, but now they're actually spelled out. You see that you get points for beating a rival, beating a conference opponent, beating a top 25 opponent, things like that, that you'll get bonus points for players that were in during that week. So the better the visit, the better the overall experience, the more points you get. And then even on top of that, going even further with visits, the later in the season compared to the other schools that had that player in for a visit, the later in the season, the more of a bonus points you can get. So if you invited a player in week 13 and your opponent invited them for week 10, you'll get a bigger bonus because you were one of the last schools that he visited. Basically, he, you know, was the last, you, basically the last good impression on that player. So there's definitely a lot of kind of points to be had, and it's just a matter of finding the right combination of points to make sure that player has the best opportunity to, on his visit.
I want to clarify something with visits, and I know you said it correctly, but I know some other outlets, I don't think have been as clear as you were, and I want to drill this home. It's not necessarily being a late visit, it's being the last of the five official visits that you're able to, a recruit goes on within the game, correct?
Correct, right. If you are, let's say, everybody jumps on a recruit early, and you schedule him for week two, I schedule him for week five, and JB schedules him for week four, I'm still going to get a bigger bonus than either of you two. Now, if there's a fourth guy that comes along and schedules him for week 10, then he's going to get an even bigger bonus. It's just basically, what have you done for me lately?
And theoretically, if a recruit, his first 4 weeks of the season are visits, and you were in the fifth week but the final one, you get that bonus. I don't think it'll ever work out that way in the game, but just to make sure people understand it, it's to be the last of the five, and it doesn't matter what week it is, just be the last of the five.
Absolutely, yep. And then as well with that, this year players should take a little bit longer before they sign, so you do have that opportunity to wait and schedule a late visit. But then if you schedule him, if it's week five and you schedule him for a week 15 visit saying, haha, I'm going to be last, he may sign before that. So he never even steps foot on your campus. You lost your opportunity to have him in for a visit. So it's definitely something you have to find the right balance for, and not, number one, you don't want to show your hand. You don't want to be the first guy to offer a visit because then everybody's going to work around you. But then at the same time, you don't want to miss your opportunity to bring him in for a visit for a big, important rivalry game or something.
And something that I've noticed in the screenshots, that I'm not sure it was in the Bills we played in Florida, is that it will show you when they are on the threshold of getting ready to schedule a visit that you'll have to have basically enough points, enough goodwill, enough interest shown. We see it in one of the screenshots with an Oregon player that the threshold is crossed, and then it says this prospect is ready to schedule a visit. Is that something that, and I'll go to you, Jeremy, here, is that something that you think will help a lot for users to know if they are close to a visit or if they need to pour more points?
Yeah, I think the way that they kind of spell it out there, it kind of helps the person try to kind of balance things better. They have a little white bar that kind of goes vertically across the overall progress bar from signing the recruit. So you'll have a good idea of where to go there, and then hopefully you've got something open towards the end of the season to where they'll be able to you'll be able to get those extra bonus points.
Another aspect of this is that as each week advances, you actually get kind of a pop-up box. We kind of saw some similar to this in the past where you'd say, it'd say X player signed with you or whatever, but now this pop-up box will actually jump up and say that this player is ready for a recruit, this player signed, you know, basically some other news about your recruiting board that'll pop up, and you can actually kind of, you know, scroll through and look at your players, and if you have 25 players listed there, then you can actually look through them all. So it's small touches like that definitely kind of allow you to be more connected to your recruiting, but then also at the same time still go in there and get it done faster.
As Jeremy mentioned when we started the show, one of the big reasons for this change was to help streamline things, that the past methodology just becomes so burdensome and too time intensive for a lot of people. The off season was one that really was a reason a lot of online dynasties, you know, why they went to die, basically, that if you were waiting on a bunch of users to do it, in one evening, it could take hours to finish. If you were doing it over a course of days or weeks, obviously it led to a lot of dynasties just basically losing interest, giving up. The offseason has now been streamlined to what they're saying is 2 weeks, really only one active week of recruiting where you have a 10,000-point limit, where you have a pool of 10,000 points, but no player cap, where in the regular season you have the 500. In the offseason, no limit, so you basically can assign that to one player extensively, or it can spread around for one last run. Jeremy, do you want to talk about the offseason, how this 10,000-point pool, what this kind of represents, what this means, and what it'll do for users?
It's going to do a lot of things. First off, as you said, it's going to really shorten the time that off-seasons take. I mean, if you had a group of dedicated guys that could get a time together, you could knock it out in one night, but still it would take almost the whole evening for you to do. And if you couldn't get everybody on in one night, then you basically kind of went on a 24-hour advance, was kind of what most of the leagues did. And that would take almost 2 weeks just to get to the point where you're ready to play again. So this is not only good for the fact that of the way it's set up, which I'll talk to here in a minute, but it's the fact that you're going to be able to speed through this and be able to get back onto the field as soon as possible. But the big thing strategically on the off-season recruiting is the fact that there is no cap for how many points you can assign to a recruit. So if you've got that five-star, the best athlete in the nation, and he hasn't committed yet, and you don't really care about anybody else on your board, you could throw your whole 10,000 points right at that guy and hope that somebody doesn't decide to commit all that to that top recruit. That's kind of what they call kind of, you know, just put all your chips into one basket. And so it's kind of neat with the fact that you're going to get double the points from a normal week, and then on top of that, you can unlock some coach skills that'll even give you even more points. So it's really going to be interesting, especially in online dynasties, to see how these battles between users are going to shake out when there's not a limit of what you can push to them.
Absolutely, and it's going to be definitely a big strategy of, you know, how do you handle it if you've got a guy that's almost ready to sign? Do you just simply give him a small amount? Or do you worry about somebody else is going to come along behind you and dump their full 10,000 in it? And it's really going to come down to how well you manage your in-season recruiting. If you sign 20 players or however many you sign, and that's what you needed was those 20 players, but then you get to the off-season and you say, all right, I've filled my needs or whatever, let's go see if we can find the best guy that's left and try to sign him. Basically, you can make it to where it's a rich-get-richer sort of effect where – you've got your players, you really don't need to recruit anymore, but now there's just one player that just you can just dump all your points into. So it's definitely going to be a big strategy, and it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be funny to sit there and see guys get stolen right out from each other, just like in real life on the last minute on signing day. You know, you're going to be able to steal that guy away from another user, and just simply because either you budgeted your recruiting season better, or you know, you don't have as many needs or whatever it may be. So it's definitely going to be a lot of gamesmanship, a lot of fun, and it's going to lead to a lot of strategy. The other thing that I want to make sure that we mention is some people have already pointed it out, but you'll notice that in the recruiting there are now no longer any promises during the regular season recruiting. You can't go out and say, I'm going to promise you no red shirt your first year, so on and so forth. That was kind of people found ways to kind of game the game, so to speak, to where, you know, they knew they weren't going to redshirt them their freshman year, but they'd turn around and redshirt them in their sophomore year or something like that. So, you know, those promises are no longer there, but the off-season trying to convince players to come back, those promises are still returning. So you do still have to use those promises to try to get a guy to come back to school, to try to get him, tell him you're going to give him more playing time, or you're going to increase his draft rating or something like that. So it's a change as far as all that goes, and it's something that people need to keep in mind, that you're no longer going to be able to game the game with those promises like you could before.
Before we move on to coach skills, I'm going to give you guys a couple quick questions. I just want yes or no answers. Jeremy, will you miss the old individual phone call system?
No.
Tommy?
No.
Are you concerned, looking through this new system, there are a lot of numbers, and it's something that recruiting has added more numbers. Last year they added the overall. This year there's just a lot of numbers between the point allocation, the bonus numbers, the lead, the change, the bonus, the deal breaker number. Jeremy, is there a little bit of a concern or a lot of concern for new users, average users, possibly too many numbers on the screen going on?
No.
Ooh, I would say yes, but Tommy?
I would say little concern, but on the very little side. if I can expand on that.
I'll give you two sentences before I send the guards
in. I want
in.
Two sentences, too.
All right. Tommy first.
Basically, it'll just require more strategy. People just have to focus on those numbers and use their strategy to their advantage.
I think you used a semicolon in there, but I'll count it as two sentences, Jeremy.
It's a point-based recruiting system, so it's number-driven. So in order to spell out a lot of things, numbers are needed to illustrate.
That is the worst run-on sentence I've ever
heard. I never heard a period in there at all. So.
Well, I was only getting two sentences, so I was trying to run it on.
One thing that's worth noting with recruiting, and I think it's more on this power recruiting side than the coach skills, is that EA relied on some staffers from West Virginia University, and they took notes as they played the game throughout the years, what was realistic, what wasn't realistic, and what they thought should be in the game. The visit system is something that they really, one of the articles from the Charleston Daily Mail mentioned, that's really seemed to be something born right out of those conversations. I believe some of this other stuff is as well. That was the big one. They mentioned some other things that they wanted to get in, such as relates to JUCO players, etc. I will ask this as a kind of a brief question. Tommy, what would you like to see added within recruiting, sort of a minor thing, not necessarily any overhauls, but what minor aspects are still missing in your opinion?
This may be considered an overhaul, but the one thing that's kind of missing, and I don't know how to handle it, so that's the problem, but the ability for decommits and, you know, convincing a player to now commit to your school instead of another school. Basically, you know, right now, instead of get rid of the hard commit and just have every player as a soft commit.
I agree with you. I think that the end result, it could be a very, very fun game dynamic, but I'm not sure how we get there from this point. Jeremy, what do you think it's missing at this point?
I think it's missing any sort of dramatics. You see a lot of numbers and charts and graphs, but you don't see the kind of dramatic moments. A lot of times you have a good idea of how it's going to play out, who's going to come and take that recruit. Now with some of the changes, there will be a little bit of kind of maybe surprises that may come out, but I think a lot of the dramatics and theatrics kind of intrigue towards the end are missing. I'd almost like to see towards the end of, say, once a recruit gets 80% down to their final decision, I'd like to see it all just kind of go blind and you really don't know where you are. So that way, once he makes his decision, it kind of adds a little bit of a dramatic feel to it.
I would agree with you, but I also think you just contradicted your point about too many, not enough numbers on the screen or too many numbers, but I'll let that slide. But I agree with you, though.
Based on what we have now, that the too many numbers is fine because that's what we have now. That's what we got. That's what we have to deal with. And so in order to best understand what's going on, I think we need the numbers now. But if there was an added element into the recruiting, then yeah, those things could change. But so it's not really contradicting because we're talking about two different things here.
More is better than less, because if stuff is not if there's more less stuff, then you might want to have some more, and your parents just don't let you because there's only a little bit.
Right.
We want more. Like, you really like it. You
right.
want more.
I follow you.
I don't know. I think you contradict yourself. Too many numbers. I don't even know what's going on at this point. But I agree with you that we put in so much time that the theatrics and presentation. I know people mention they want like the hat selection, and I understand that, and I can live with that. But I think just the way you find out you've signed somebody, I don't know how they do it without being cheesy or gimmicky, but it just seems after all this time you put in, it should be a little more special than just a pop-up, and especially the between-week advance when you get the pop-up. It's kind of very anticlimactic that I put all this time in, especially in the old system. Okay, great. Now he signed it. Would you agree with that, Tommy? I mean, I know you're not necessarily a big bells and whistles guy, so I don't know. Are JB and I on the same planet as you?
Well, as far as the whole hat selection and stuff like that, I wouldn't mind seeing that for some of the top recruits, especially maybe mm-hmm. some of the recruits that players, like humans, were going after hard against each other, that kind of stuff, basically to say, ha-ha, I got him, you didn't. I wouldn't mind seeing some of that stuff. I wouldn't want it for every single player or anything like that,
no.
Obviously, but, you know, just I mean, small things, either an image or a video you can choose to open or whatever it is. But, you know, there can be some small presentation items that kind of immerse you a little bit more. But then, you know, even going further is the ability to kind of see more historical data. That's one thing I'm hoping that Next Gen gives us, is knowing how you did from throughout the whole season on a particular player, like you mentioned before the podcast, but then as well the ability to see how you've done from season to season and seasons on end, so that, you know, it's basically, instead of just simply looking at it for that one week and that static data for that week, you're looking at, you know, trends from dating back to when you first started the Dynasty.
The other big addition to Dynasty Mode is the Coach Skills feature. Tommy, I'll let you describe. What is this Coach Skills feature?
Basically, it's kind of a, as they call it, an RPG element, to where in the end it allows you to make each coach have a different feel to them. So, you know, you can have those coaches that are really good at recruiting, or those coaches that are really good in, you know, coaching their players up, or those offensive or defensive coordinators that are really good at particular position focus or something like that. Basically, this allows each coach has their own set of skills that, as you increase your level through different achievements, in not achievements, but different accomplishments, either in the game or in recruiting, or, you know, scoring 3 touchdowns in a game or whatever it may be, you get points, and the more points you get, the higher your level is. And as you level up, you get to spend those points on these different skills. You know, skills, again, like I mentioned, help you in recruiting or help you during the game, things like that. And the nice thing is it allows each individual coach to have a different feel. So me personally, I'm pretty good at playing the game on game day, so I'll probably more focus on recruiting, just so I can have that little bit of an edge over somebody who focuses their attention on the gameplay stuff.
Real quickly, let's talk about the head coach trees, and then we'll get into the coordinator stuff a little later. The head coach trees are game management, which, to sum it up in a sentence, is basically just things that help your team overall in terms of, maybe it's reduction of penalties, it could be where Ice the Kicker doesn't phase you, it could be where you play better at the beginning of games, where you're better at the end of games. The recruiting, pretty self-explanatory, a lot of boost with recruiting, and like we talked about earlier, and we said we'd mention it now, you can get more points beginning of the year, more points at the end of the year, a better chance for an instant commit, a lower the number of players to get a pipeline state. Basically, big recruiting boost. And just so people know, the coordinator ones basically give individual rating boost to certain positions on the field, and we'll get to that a little later. And the way these trees work is that if you're looking at the screens, you start from the bottom and work your way up, that you'll need so many points on a certain level before you have the option to start purchasing or attaining the points on the next level up. Each skill has 3 different levels. The blog from EA Sports gives the full numbers for level 1 for every skill. They said they want you to wait until the game launches to see what level 2 and 3 can do. Let's talk about the game management tree, and I'd say the best thing to do is go to our Info Central. You can see pictures, link to the blog. I want you guys to talk about either some of the skills that you think you are really going to want to earn, and or the skills you're a little worried might be overpowered, because that has been the big concern of the community. And I do want to say that at the January community event, we shared that thought with the team a lot, and they are very aware of it. They want these perks to be strong enough to where you want to earn XP to earn them, but they also want to make sure that it's not something that throws the entire balance of the game out of whack. JB, I'll let you go first. You can talk about maybe a handful of these skills. Which ones are you looking forward to, and which ones are you a little concerned about potentially?
The one I'm looking forward to probably the most is probably the matchup, kind of the return of the matchup stick. It's a little different than what it was in the past, but I like it just for the fact that, especially on a passing play or a running play, you know, I'm going to see where the other team is going to be able to be overpowered, and then I can attack that side of the field. The one that kind of worries me is Coach Stradamus, just because on paper it's about spelling it out, that, you know, it's letting you know what your opponent has been calling. Until we really actually start playing the game, I'll probably reserve full judgment. On paper, though, it kind of scares me, just to of what kind of information it's going to give you.
To me, I mean, JB kind of hit on both the ones that I wanted to hit on was the matchup. Again, like he said, the return of the matchup stick. To kind of compare your players on field. And then again, like he said, the coach Stradamus kind of concerns me just because they did spell out in the blog the three different levels. And by the time you get to the third level, you have a chance to know exactly what play your opponent is called, if I'm not mistaken. So it kind of, you know, that one does become very gimmicky and kind of concerns me. I expect that a lot of dynasties will end up, you know, ruling that one out, at least ruling out level 3. Thankfully, it is a little bit higher on the tree. It's not the very top one, but it is higher on the tree. But at the same time, still a little bit concerning. But then as well, with JB and I kind of looking at them both from the same perspective, it kind of, you know, hits on something that I've thought, you know, even dating back to our time in March, is that my concern with a lot of these user coaches, they're going to end up following the same path. So, you know, granted, you know, there's different variances or whatever, but by the time JB hits level 11 and I hit level 11, we're going to have our coaches looking very similar. I mean, obviously, some guys are going to use things different ways, but that's kind of my fear, is that it'll kind of nullify some of these things, which can be good in one way, but at the same time, it kind of ruins some of the immersion and ruins some of the variety that I'd like to see.
Some of the hot and cold things kind of worry me, too, a little bit, but not until we see them in action. I'm kind of wondering how it's going to affect. I don't know if it's, you know, it's just hard to tell right now, but like for teams that start hot, are they just going to break every tackle, you know? Those are kind of worrisome too, especially if if a lot of ODs outlaw Kostradamus, those light of fire in big game might be kind of worrisome, especially clutch, cuz that's where you'll start the fourth quarter out hot. So
I was just going to say that I think those are the ones that potentially concern me. I know they mentioned in the blog that those are kind of a dynamic boost, so we don't know if that means the range is minuscule to minor, or if potentially, you know, on the high end is potentially just a huge swing. We don't know, but I would agree with you. That's the one I want to keep my eye on, to see how those, any kind of hot boost, how they affect your team play. The recruiting tree, this is the one I think where a lot of people are probably going to start out. I could be wrong. I think, especially in a competitive online dynasty with numerous users, this is really where, you know, the future of the league is decided, that you want to get those top players, especially the first couple of years. So by the time they become sophomores or juniors, you have the best team in your conference and also in the online dynasty. Jeremy, I'll let you go first here. Which skills are you looking forward to, and are there any of these a little bit, you know, maybe you have a red flag on, or you're going to keep your eye on come July 9th?
The one I'm looking most forward to is the letter of intent, because it's given you not only extra recruiting points, but it's also given you a percentage chance to steal a prospect from their top school. It also worries me, because if it happens, I mean, level 1's only a 5% chance, but I mean, if we get up to level 2 and 3 and it gets kind of ridiculous, it might worry me. But as a player, it also is the one I want to use the most, because it's going to give me that edge in the off season.
The one that I'm definitely going to max out first is the scouting. Just simply the ability to, right now on level 1, you get 25% for 50 points. And as I went through and read some of the blogs and the information, if you max that out, then you get 100% for 50 points as well. So basically, in the time that you'll spend 4 weeks, it'll take you 4 weeks of 50 points to get the same amount that I'll get in 1 week for 50 points. So that's the one that I'll go after first, and it's actually one of the lower skill tree items. It's actually on the first level of recruiting. So it's definitely the one I'm going to max out as fast as I can, go right after. And then, you know, as far as worrisome, you know, the one that JB kind of mentioned, the letter of intent, you know, a little bit worried. I don't know what the third level is how much of a chance you're going to have to steal from me. But at the same time, if that does get high, then that becomes a concern. But thankfully, that one's a little bit higher. I think it's on the second from the highest level. So it's, you know, the recruiting, it doesn't scare me as much, because it becomes something that you, again, have to determine what to focus on. It's not like you are focusing on offense versus defense, but rather you're focusing on, do I want to sign this guy, or do I want to find out more about him, or so on and so forth. So, you know, the recruiting, I think it's definitely going to be a lot of fun to kind of toy around with that and see how how people do fill up the tree, especially if somebody's weaker in gameplay, then they may have to build up their gameplay tree before they even get to touch recruiting.
Yeah, that's another thing with the recruiting. You also get a pick. What point in the season do you feel is the most important? Do you feel like you need to get that jump start early in the season? Do you need that kick start late in the season? Or do you need to make that final push in the off season? And so, yeah, you're right that not many of these are really worrisome because they're just basically boosts and where do you want to boost, and that's just going to be basically on your own recruiting style.
I like the locksmith one. I think that could be one that could add a lot of competitive drama to online dynasties. They basically give away what the levels are. Level 1, you open one locked recruit per season, but you must be within 2,000 of the last place team that's above the cutoff to use that skill. But it mentions in the description you can unlock up to 5 a year, so that basically says level 3 is 5, and I would assume level 2 then is 3 a season. So that's the one I'm looking forward to, just in case, especially in an OD, if you're starting off at a lower tier school, you may need some of those locksmiths to come back later on and get a player. Obviously, the ones with add the point pool I think are very important as well. So those are the ones I'm going to really go for. Let's talk about the coordinator ones. And Tommy, you had some good points about this before the show. Talk about basically what these do for your team.
Basically, with these, it's just like the head coach. The head coach controls these, or if you're the particular coordinator, then you control your own skills. But these basically allow you to, in NCAA in the past and also with 14, you don't have the ability to actually hire and fire specific assistants. So as a substitute, this at least allows you to kind of mold your assistant. You're not going to be changing his name. You're not going to be, you know, selecting what kind of playbook he runs or whatever. You're not going to influence that kind of stuff, but you at least get to influence what his areas of focus are. So if you want your offensive coordinator to focus on quarterback, you can pick that as his area of focus. And so it's in a sense, you're not necessarily hiring and firing your guy, but at the same time, you are getting to control him to the point that you want him to be, so that way you do feel more connected to him, and you do get to enjoy the benefits of the guy that you want to have.
Tommy, do you know if you start your dynasty as a coordinator and get offered a head coach job, what happens to those points that you spent on your coordinator?
Let's say you are an offensive coordinator, and by the end of year 2, you get offered a head coach job, and you're at level, let's say, you're level 15 offensive coordinator. You now become a level 15 head coach, and you get to distribute your 15 points among your game management and recruiting trees. So it's not like you instantly become, you know, your level 15 coordinator, so you're still pretty good. But then now you're a head coach, you're basically half as good, so to speak, in these game management and recruiting aspects. So it's definitely interesting that you get to keep your skills, but at the same time you're not top of the ladder like you used to be.
And what happens throughout all these trees? I'll stick with you, Tommy, real quick here. If you don't like something you've done, like maybe you put some points on a certain perk, can you do anything in the off season to rectify or change it?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a good and a bad thing. Each off season you do have the opportunity. I'm not sure exactly the stage, but it's sometime during the off season you have the ability to rescope your tree completely. So basically, if you want to, you can clear out your tree altogether and then rebuild things up. So that way, if you decided that you tried out a skill and you didn't like it, you can basically go back away from that and then rebuild it into a different skill. It's good in the sense that you can, you know, control it a little bit more and have a little bit more play with it. But personally, I think if they're going to allow you to do that, there should be some kind of penalty. Either you drop 2 levels when you do it or something like that. But at the same time, I mean, it also allows, you know, commissioners of a dynasty to be able to kind of keep an eye on people, and if they're abusing one, then he can tell them, all right, you got to throw that away and go back to a different one or something like that. So there's good and there's bad to it, but at the same time, at the end of the day, it's all a matter of how you want to use it.
Mentioned on the Press Row podcast, Ben Hallmuller stated, and this is something that I don't think we knew for sure in March that this was going to be in, but he had mentioned that you can go in, and correct me if I'm wrong here, you can go in, I believe, through the menu system, and you can view what every coach has for their skill tree, users and computers. Is that correct, Tommy?
Yeah, that's correct. It's good in the sense that you can kind of go out there and in real life, a head coach is going to know what his opposing head coach is good at. He's going to know that, you know, he's a good game management, and he knows that he can talk his players up, so on and so forth. So in the game, you get a sense of that as well, so that, you know, if you're in an online dynasty, you can go out there and see what your fellow head coaches are focusing on. It's good in the sense so that you can kind of keep an eye on them and also kind of get an idea of what they are, but at the same time, you also kind of can, you know, it's like in school, you can kind of cheat off somebody else's paper, so you can kind of see what they're doing. It's good and bad. It's also especially good for a commissioner to be able to see what areas people are focusing on, if they decide that they're abusing one or something like that. He can know so. But, you know, it's I've seen some people complaining you shouldn't see what everybody else is doing, but at the same time, like I said, in real life, a head coach is going to know what his opposing head coach can do really well as well.
Jeremy, on the offensive coordinator side, what perks are you looking forward to? Are there any that concern you, like we saw maybe with some of the head coach stuff?
Much of a concern, because they're just adding a couple of points to each of the attributes, and it's almost kind of similar to the previous years when a player would kind of be on a hot streak. Some of their attributes would kind of get increased by, you know, 2, 3, or 4. You know, so I don't think anything here really worries me. But as for what I like, I think the air traffic control is really good, because it's given you a bonus in three key skills: the catching, the spectacular catch, and the catch in traffic. I think that might be the one that I probably will go to first.
I mean, personally, what I've kind of said and what I've kind of relayed to EA is that instead of these being game day changes, I would have preferred that they actually be something more along the lines of off-season progression, that your coordinator is good at teaching this skill so your player progresses higher in this skill or whatever. But as far as them being game day boosts, I mean, like JB said, it's not terrible. I mean, it's not like we're increasing them by 20 points or something like that. But, you know, it will be interesting to see what some of these level 3 boosts end up being, just because, you know, they can get carried away if they're not careful. Probably the one that I first want to kind of get towards is the daylight one, just simply because, like it says, everybody does have to carry the ball sometimes. So, you know, you want to be able to break those tackles, have those ability to make better moves, things like that. So, you know, as far as one that just really scares me more than another, there's really not one. It'll be interesting to see what kind of areas people focus in and how they handle that, but you know, there's really not anything, especially not on level 1, that really just alarms me.
The one I think I want to try to max out first is Bulldozer. Through NSA 12 and 13, I found that the offensive line, no big surprise, the key to success. The one lone year I won a title in OD, I had an amazing offensive line, and this year on 13, a little hint, some people probably hate this, but if you set your impact blocking too aggressive, there's not really a downside. So anything that can boost my offensive line, plus 2 impact blocking on level 1, and I'm assuming level 3 is going to be a pretty nice boost, that's the one I'm going to want to get to level 3 first. Defensive coordinator, Tommy, I'll let you go first here. Any that scare you? I'm going to guess not, considering the same arguments before. And also, which ones are you looking forward to?
Like you said, really none that scare me too bad. Probably the ones that I'm going to focus on, it's really hard to say at this point. I mean, it's kind of going to be how does the gameplay itself play once we get to July. Is zone defense broken still? I don't believe so. It wasn't in March. But, you know, are there some areas that are better or worse as far as how the game plays? But, you know, basically, it's kind of nice that if you're a guy that focuses on calling a lot of man defenses, then you can, you know, boost your players down that shutdown corner level. But probably the one that I'll probably focus on the most is the tackle rating, just simply because that does give you a boost in all kinds of areas, like the tackle, the hit power, and the pursuit at level 1. And those are all things that if you're a user-controlled player, you don't have the much control over. You can't increase your ability to tackle other than just putting your player in the best position. So that's probably the one that I'll try to focus on first whenever I can get to that point.
I think, just like the offense and what Tommy said, there's nothing that really scares me just because we're doing incremental attributes here. But I think the shutdown is definitely a key one, especially, you know, playing in ODs, a lot of people like to pass the ball. So any kind of advantage you can get on the passing side, especially when you can increase the man coverage and increase the press coverage all in one shot. I think that's what kind of makes the shutdown real nice, is because it over the no-fly zone, where that only gives you a zone coverage boost, the shutdown kind of gives you a couple of boosts there.
I'd say there's a couple that stand out to me, and you guys mentioned some of them. I like the tackling one a lot. The athlete one I like a lot in terms of adding speed, agility, acceleration, and strength. That's pretty big. I like the no-fly zone, but also that will come down to, like you said, Tommy, on how zone coverage is this year, and maybe there's issues somewhere else, so maybe that'll make no-fly zone not as appealing. But if it's based on 13, I want any help I can in zone coverage, so that would be one that I would probably look to first.
I do
want to
make sure that we mention that there is a skill called ball burglar. I'll just leave that one out there.
Tommy, I know you're big into Dynasty, actually all of us are, but there's some commission things in here and some settings that they can alter and determine that'll change how things play out. Can you talk about what the commissioner can do and how the dynasty can be shaped?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that the commissioner will be able to set is, you know, assuming everybody's using created coaches, he can set it what their actual skill level starts at. So if he wants everybody to start at zero and they have to work their way from there, he can do that. That way, you know, you all kind of start out as bottom-of-the-barrel coaches and kind of build your coach up from there. But as well, if he wants to set it at level 5 or even level, I don't know what the maximum is, but let's say it's 99. If he wants to set the maximum level is all the way up there, then everybody can kind of max out their skill tree right from the get-go. You know, that will allow the commissioner to kind of vary. You know, each dynasty will have a little bit of variance between them just based on that. So that's really the main focus as far as what EA allows you to control. You know, there will be dynasties to where you manually control what's either certain skills people can't use, or once you get to this level you can't use your points or things like that. But you know, that's going to be up to each dynasty to kind of monitor and control that on their own. The other aspect to definitely mention is that there is a speed at which you progress your coach. So basically, as you're going through a season, you'll have opportunity to earn points and everything like that. And this is kind of a slider setting that goes from slowest, slow, normal, fast, and fastest. And based on what setting you have it on is how fast you'll actually earn those points, or how many points you'll earn. So that way you can kind of, if you don't want coaches to get really high after the first season, you can kind of adjust that. But if you want players to really, really be rewarded for scoring touchdowns or recruiting top 25 players or whatever it may be, then you can set it to fastest, and you might end up with, at the end of the season one, this is just throwing out random examples, but at the end of season one, maybe you have one guy that's skill level 50 and another guy that's skill level 10 or something. It's all a matter of how you want to kind of control it. And again, I think a lot of dynasties are going to end up using that slowest, just because they want to slowly build up their coaches and make it a unique and rewarding thing for those coaches actually earning those points.
That is our look at power recruiting and coach skills. Still more Dynasty news. There are some stuff that's been added that EA really hasn't talked about officially. It's been in through other blogs, media, things we heard at the community event, things we've been able to follow up with them on via email. I'm not sure why marketing hasn't discussed them, but I suppose maybe it's going to be come out at E3 or information before release. But we asked users to send us questions via Twitter, @GamingTailgate. What Dynasty questions do you have? We ended up getting some just general game questions, which is more than fine. We'll answer that now. Let's go through some of these Twitter questions. Brian Gumbel, I don't think it's the real Brian Gumbel, but you never know. @Gudad721 asks, is there an in-game save option? I'll take that. No, there is not. The good news is that the PS4 is going to have basically that feature when it comes out, and hopefully the Xbox One will as well. So whenever NCAA Football comes out on the next-gen or next-next-gen, whatever you call it, that'll be a system feature, thank goodness. So that'll be a request that EA, thankfully, will not have to fulfill. Tommy, this is from Kenny Mac at Kenny Mac 32. Is accelerated clock in, not the chew clock feature? And there's another question, but I'll answer that one first.
There is no accelerated clock, unfortunately. It's something I definitely would like to see them add. I know some people say, well, you already have the chew clock, but unfortunately that doesn't control how the computer or even your human opponent controls the clock. So it's something I would like to see added, just so that you can set it at, you know, the 15-minute clock if you wanted to do so, and then have it chew down, or excuse me, accelerated to a certain point before the snap. But again, that's probably a little bit difficult, especially with a lot of teams running no huddle, and if both teams ran no huddle, it'd make 15 minute game clock run forever. So not this year, but maybe it's something they can work on in the future.
And Jibby, I'll let you answer this. I think we know the answer, but obviously EA has not said anything to us about this. Any changes to the team builder?
I will say with about 99% certainty, no.
And if it is, it's nothing major.
But they added teams like ODU and their stadiums and stuff like that.
Corey White, COW22580. I think I've heard of that guy. How do the coaching skills affect the CPU coaches in Dynasty mode, if at all? Tommy, I'll let you take that one away.
The CPU does earn and use their points that they earn as they go throughout their skill level. As I understand it, it's kind of used in a semi-random pattern. I don't know exactly if they have different progression charts or whatever, but it's not like a particular head coach is going to follow the same pattern every time. So it's good and it'll provide variety, but at the same time, if it's truly random, then you might have a team like Georgia Tech that has an offensive coordinator that focuses on passing or something, or catching or something like that, whereas they should be focusing on running the triple option and, of course, running skills. So they use their points, it provides variety, but at the same time, it's not mapped out in any real way.
And to build on that quickly, you're right, the way they use them will differ in each dynasty, but also the starting point for any computer coach, every dynasty will change. That's one of the things in the blog they mentioned, that long story short, no two dynasties will be the same. So you may start a dynasty with one team in Alabama, might be the coaches might go a certain way. I could start a dynasty, or you could go make a different one that same night, different school, and they'll be allocated a different way. So you won't always see the same things. Whether that's good or bad, I have my thoughts. I wish they would have done it a little differently. I wish it could have been user-edited, so that way you could really make schools, the skill tree, match their playstyle in real life, and especially the personnel on their rosters in the game. We go to Nick Zaratka. I'm sure I butchered your name. Sorry, Nick. At NZCK71, is the new college football playoff incorporated into the Dynasty mode? Unfortunately, no. Ben Hummler in the Press Row podcast said they wanted to do that, but there's just so many details and variables that are unknown right now about the playoff. They did not get that in, unfortunately. Noah Pape, at DBU_UT. I think that references Mac Brown always recruiting guys to play safety, all these guys who are like quarterbacks in the pros now. Were there any improvements to coaching carousel, poll, and awards logic? Tommy, I think you've talked with some of the devs via email about this, especially at the community event. Any changes here?
We definitely mentioned to them when we were there in March that there are some issues with poll logic for, you know, top 25 teams, especially. One of the things we saw in one of the online dynasties I was in were those, you know, those Maction schools that would go undefeated but would still be, you know, they would have a really weak schedule but would become number two, number three in the nation over a one-loss SEC team or something like that. So we definitely mentioned that they need to put a focus on that and kind of adjust that. We don't know what exactly has been done, if anything, but we're hopeful and we believe that some changes should be coming along. As far as the coaching carousel logic, they're definitely the new contract system. The way they're doing contracts now is instead of having goals that you have to, you know, rush for 1,500 rushing yards or whatever it may be, instead those contracts are based on the school you're at, what their history has been over a certain period of time, and what you've done this year. So if you're at an Alabama, you're expected to win 11 or 12 games every season, whereas if you're at Akron, you know, school hasn't won very many games over the past few seasons, so you're not expected to do nearly as much. And so some of that is already going to influence the logic itself. It's going to have coach prestige and stuff like that be affected. And then as well, they did do some changes to where the coaches should not get offers that are beneath them, so to speak. So like an Alabama head coach is not going to get offered the Akron offensive coordinator, or should not. But then for sure, if it is beneath them, then they won't accept it. It will actually need to be a significant jump before they'll actually accept it. So you won't see the Akron head coach going to North Texas or something like that. So there definitely are some changes, and we're hopeful that there are significant changes. They may have been small in stature, so to speak, but they end up being significant in the long run.
Jeremy, Rob Myers at MyRes39 says, will we be able to upgrade stadiums to build up smaller schools?
Fortunately, on NCAA, there won't be this kind of an option. There's not any kind of like a owner mode option like Madden is kind of bringing back with the connected careers this year. So unfortunately, nothing like that is in place, but hopefully maybe, you know, with the ability to do more on next gen, that could be an option.
And the final Twitter question of the night comes from Aaron Bills at Sneaker1Freak. This is handcrafted just for you, Tommy. Can you turn the coaching skills gimmicks off? Now, there's one other question, but I'll let you answer that one first.
Unfortunately, as I understand, no, they're not actually turning it off. It's understandable from EA's perspective. They're not going to add a feature and immediately have you turn it off before you even give it a try. So it's something that, no, you cannot turn it off. However, with the ability to change the progression level to slowest, it'll slow things down. And then as well, you know, just a good commissioner can kind of keep things in check. If he decides he doesn't like the coach skills, then he can just tell all of his players, don't use it or you kick from the dynasty or something like that. So, you know, it's EA is not giving us the ability to turn it off, but you, in a sense, can turn it off for yourself.
His other question, have they fixed all the glitches and freezes in Online Dynasty? Ruins the mode. This is something we don't know. We know that throughout the year, we send them tons of feedback on this stuff because we are big Dynasty guys, big Online Dynasty guys. So we've run into a lot of these. I know last year, I think we all had issues at one point or another, and historically we've run into them. We send it on. I know community feedback has helped improve it in the past. I would assume that a lot of the issues have been looked at, addressed, but you never know. Each year, something new may pop up. Would you agree with that, Tommy? We can't give a definitive answer, but we know that they obviously want that to be improved.
Absolutely, yeah. They're going to correct some of the issues they found, but like you said, there may be new issues that nobody's aware of or nobody saw in 13, but you see in 14 or something like that. So, you know, it's definitely going to be improved, but how big of a level, we don't know exactly. But especially with this is, I believe, their second year with that data tracker, or I don't know whatever they want to call it, but basically to where they can see all the details of an online dynasty. With those tools this year for being the second year, then that should just continue to improve, you know, year after year until they get to a point to where they feel like they've erased 99.9% of the bugs. Obviously, you're never going to get rid of 100%. So, it again, short answer, it's improved.
That was a lot of fun answering those Twitter questions. If you guys have any questions you want to address on a future podcast, send them to @GamingTailgate on Twitter, and we'll make sure to get to them. There are some other items that have been added or improved to Dynasty Mode that have really either not been announced, been flown under the radar, that EA has not put out in blogs. Tommy, I think we've got through a few of these through the Q&A here. What do you know about the Dynasty website? I've seen some people ask that previously on Twitter of us. Do you know what they've done there, if any?
Yeah, there was an article that came through this week from xxlmag.com that actually had an interview with Ben Hallmiller, and the question was asking what changes were there to the Online Dynasty website, and the answer he gave was just simply that they've included the recruiting changes, of course, that you can add points, you can set your points from the website, things like that, just like you can do from the console. But it sounded like the only other change that he mentioned were that the Super Sim from the web, the ability to actually play the game, call plays from the Online Dynasty website, that is no longer in there just because they've determined that it's very, very small usage. So it basically seems like it's something that they can use the resources that they had there and instead focus them elsewhere as they go forward.
Everyone, thank you for listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. Check us out at thegamingtailgate.com. Visit our NCAA 14 Info Central and follow us on Twitter @GamingTailgate to send us questions or to keep up on all the latest news. For Jeremy and Tommy, this is Chris. Thanks for listening.
It just sounds funny.